Social media is so powerful. It's, not only can you get new clients, which obviously that we set out to do that, you can also build different revenue streams through social media, which I would have not understood 4 years ago. Through building an audience, and you don't have to have a big audience to do this, you can build your passive income streams. You can start to sell your your processes, or maybe it's do little online courses or tutorials, subscription-based services, whatever it might be. You can have and build a passive income opportunity. And
Templates.
templates, all of that, which is so amazing when you get that set up and running and you're getting money and from doing nothing. And then as well, you've got the whole other end of that, which is just it opens up other opportunities for you. Like for me, speaking gigs that I never thought I would get the opportunity to do. And without social media, I would have never got those. But it's a challenging game and it's something that we all struggle with. It's comes in, ups and downs, and it's a real challenge to not feel affected if your social media isn't doing well, or you're finding your engagement's low. But I think the best thing you can just do is keep going, keep creating. And if you're feeling overwhelmed by social media, there's a little quote and it's stop scrolling, just create. And I think that's really important. I actually try my best not to scroll too much these days because I honestly do get really overwhelmed by what everyone else is doing, which is silly because in essence, I've got everything that I could have ever wanted in a business. And here I am being sad that I didn't get 100,000 views on a video. Like, that's ridiculous.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast, brought to you by Aventive Academy. I'm your host, Katie Sandell. I'm a brand strategist, designer, creative director, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency based in Austin, Texas, serving clients worldwide. After mastering the art of building a profitable and sustainable design business, I decided to help you achieve the same success. I teach brand, graphic, and web design business owners how to attract more clients, increase their pricing, and develop design businesses that provide the financial freedom and time flexibility you've always dreamt of. We offer online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, along with our coaching, accelerator, and mastermind high-touch experiences for creatives. You can learn more about starting and growing your design business at AventiveAcademy.com. But for now, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Hello and welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. In this episode, we have the pleasure of sitting down with the founder of Pink Pony Creative, Christy Campbell. Christy is a brand identity and graphic designer based in New Zealand. Christy, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you please introduce yourself to our listeners and share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Thank you so much, Katie. Of course. So yeah, I'm Christy Campbell. I'm a branding and graphic design agency. I own Pink Pony Creative. I've owned Pink Pony Creative for 4 years now. We have a team of six people, which is just crazy. I'm like, that is, well, six, including me, just wild. And we basically help brands build, dare to be different visual identities that want to push boundaries and really capture the attention of their customers. We work with brands all over the world and brands who do everything from like bakery, dog food, restaurants, bars. We work with podcasters, hair salons, honestly, it's such a wide range of services and industries that we work with. But I'm very proud of my little business. I've got a long way to go, but I've done some cool things in my career now that I would have never expected to because of things like social media and like speaking at Adobe Max and having these other epic opportunities. So yeah, that's in summary, a bit about me.
Yeah, I want that. Well, I'll then tell you now something crazy. I literally scrolled all the way to July 1st, 2019 on your Instagram.
Yes.
To see your 100 days design challenge because I've heard you talking about it. How and why did you start the challenge? Did you see someone else doing it? If you could just tell us all about it, like why?
Yeah, so I love that you've scrolled that far down. I feel like my design style has certainly evolved since then and completely changed. But this was, back in 2019, I had worked in the industry for 7 years after university. I'd had 3 different jobs for different employers, and the job that I was at was working for it was more like a construction-based company, I guess, and I was there for 2 years. Designing in the same colors, the same fonts. Honestly, I probably knew like 5 fonts in my head. That was my font collection. And anyway, so I was getting very bored and just creatively unchallenged. And so I thought, what better way to spark up some creativity than set myself this 100-day design challenge, where I would just create a piece of work every day for 100 days, and I would use Instagram to keep myself accountable and become and create like a little portfolio of the work. And I started that, and it started to go well, and I was enjoying it. Don't get me wrong, it was quite hard work. At day 50, I was definitely like, I'm over this, I'm ready for it to end, and I was only halfway. But then I slowly started getting inquiries. They just started coming in, and someone was like, hey, I love your work, can you make me a logo? And I was like, oh, okay, let's give this a go. And then I just started actually charging people for the work, and eventually it became more and more, and the inquiries started coming in more, and I just then made the decision, well, this could actually be a substantial business, this could turn into something. And that's when I decided to register the company name in 2020, right before COVID. It was like bang on a week before we all went into lockdown. And then from there, I actually approached my employer at the time and said, hey, look, I'm not sure how you guys are going to feel about this, but I would love to start my own business and work on it. How would you feel about me dropping to 4 days a week and I work on my business 1 day of the week? And they were really open to it. They were honestly incredible. They were so supportive. They were like, you know what, Christy, you've done a lot for us and you've done almost all you can do. We're happy for you to do this and make this slow transition out to being a full-time running business. So I was very lucky with them at the time. They were so incredible to me, and I thank them so much because they really supported me in that journey, because I know how hard and difficult it is. Well, actually, I don't know, because I didn't go through it. I could only imagine how hard and difficult it would be to all of a sudden quit your job and then have to work full time in your own business. That's a lot of hours and a lot of work that you have to bring in, not knowing much at all about business. So I was very lucky with the transition. Sorry, I went on a right tangent then.
No, I loved that. And first of all, I love that you mentioned construction company, because I was already a freelancer, but I literally remember when I got to my third client, not third from the start, but third construction company client, I said, there's no way I'm going to work with construction companies anymore. It's just so not creative. I think that actually helped me find my niche and to figure out like, how can I go into like packaging or website or something, just not construction. So I love that you mentioned construction.
Yeah, well, I mean, I try and like round it up what the business was, but do you know Flatpak Furniture?
No.
It's like from IKEA, where you put together a flat pack. But basically the business was, people would go out and assemble flat pack furniture. So I was like the brand and marketer for that business. But it was definitely, it was a great company to work for. Don't get me wrong, they treated me so well, but it was just not creative enough for me. And back then, if I look at where I am now, I would have never have believed you that I would, get this far and like have the clients that I do and get to create the work that we do. So I'm very proud.
Yeah, I love that. And what kind of clients do you get now? Who do you work with the most?
Yeah, so I mean, it's probably hard to say, but I would say if I was to pinpoint, it would be small to medium businesses, mostly female owned, more feminine brands. But I don't like putting myself into that box, because we do work with males and we do work with brands who are more masculine. I just think most of our work is within there. But we work with businesses who really want to be a little bit creative, be daring and be different and do something quite unique in the industry that maybe you typically wouldn't see. That is the type of clients we like to work with. So our range is pretty massive. Like I said, like bakeries, bars, restaurants. We love pet food, dog food. We're working with, you know, someone who sells Western inspired clothing at the moment, which is so on brand for us. We work with podcasters and we've done quite a few podcast brands, well, visual identities before. Yeah, whole range of stuff. But honestly, I love it. And I think my team, I can confidently say they love what they do as well. And they feel really lucky to get to work on the clients they do every day. So.
Yeah, love that. Okay, so basically you slowly transition from your full-time to kind of part-time, not really part-time, and then you started freelancing, started getting clients. Can you just tell us how did that scale to having your own agency? Because many designers dream of scaling their business like you have. So if you can just share with us the journey of how you transitioned then from being a solo designer to running a small design agency, like what inspired or motivated you to make that transition?
Yeah. So when I started the business, it was just me, freelancer. And I had no intention of, I didn't dream to have a team. It was not even something that came to my mind, to be honest. I just wanted to be a freelancer who worked full time. That was my goal. And then I slowly started to build my network. Clients started to roll on in, and I got to a point where I was so busy and I just felt like this workload, I wasn't doing the best job at it because I was so stretched. And I thought, why not just give it a go contracting out some work? And so I made the decision to put a little ad out, I think on Instagram, I did on Instagram at the time. And I said, like, you know, I'm looking for a contractor to do, say, 5 hours of work a week. So it was really casual. I just wanted to trial it, see if, firstly, I enjoyed it, see if I had enough work for this type of relationship. And then it got to the point where, you know, the 5 hours that this girl did started to grow to 10 hours. And then a little bit more. And I said to my husband, I think I can hire someone full time. I have a gut feeling that this could work. So yeah, then I decided to bite the bullet and hire my first employee. But I did it on the basis that I thought I would have to go out and advertise a job that was 40 hours a week, full time employee. But my dad said, you know, although there are rules in business, it's way more flexible than you think it is. And so he said, let's put out an ad saying, what about a contracting role that's 30 hours a week with the hope it's going to turn into a full-time employee role? And then at least the, you know, person that we hire knows that that's going to come. They know it's only going to be 30 hours to start with, but it's the hope to build it up to 40 hours. And then I found my girl, and then she, did 30 hours, I think, in the first week. And then the second week, she was 40 hours full time. And from then on out, yeah, we've expanded. So, yeah. Now I have a team of 4 full time designers, me, and then an accounts manager who works part time. But thankfully, she's also my sister. So that's just great as well.
Yeah. And now I already hear all the designers listening to this podcast thinking, is this all because of Instagram? Do you still get leads through Instagram?
Yes, definitely. It's definitely our number one lead generator for sure. TikTok is obviously another one. I do find the leads on TikTok aren't as strong, like aren't as hot. They typically want lower, you know, smaller packages, and we just don't offer that. But a lot, you know, now that I've built the business, a lot of our work is referrals, is clients coming back wanting more, or maybe someone else that they know have started a business. So it's that we've grown the network because of the style of work we do. And we don't actually brand ourselves as just a visual identity agency. We do graphic design in general too. So we've kind of like expanded in that way and able to work with clients ongoing. Like one of our clients is a shopping center, and we just work with them ongoing and create the campaigns, the marketing material for them. But yeah, and that was through someone I knew. It wasn't even through Instagram. That was the way that I got that role. Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't offer a website design, right?
No, that's kind of
I think I heard you talking about it. In a sense, like, oh, I was thinking about it, but then...
When it was just me, you know, as you do as a business owner, when you start offering services, people will say, you know, do you do copywriting? Do you do photography? Do you do websites? And people started asking for websites a lot. And I was like, why don't I just give it a go? I know kind of how to create a website. I created my own on Wix and I was like, I'm all right at it. I had no experience in it, I have to say. I just bit the bullet and tried it. But during that process, I think I took on two websites and I realized how much I hated it. I was like, this is just not for me. I just didn't enjoy it. And then just from then on, I made the decision I would never, well, I shouldn't say never, but I didn't want to offer website design. And even as I've grown, I've thought maybe I could bring someone else on who does web design. But at the end of the day, I think when you are a business owner, although you have an expert, you know, you might bring on a web developer within your team. If things go wrong, you are still the one to have that is having to go to that client, sort the issues out. And I just didn't want to have that relationship with clients for websites. So I just decided to cut it out. And now I have the best referrals ever. I just send them off away to these people I know and my friends, and they do an awesome job. So if you've got good referrals, you'll be away laughing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I did add website design, and that was in like 2016 or 17 because that's where the money was.
Yeah. And, and did it work?
Yeah. Indeed, I do have a web designer and a developer, but I do outsource. So basically, they're contractors and I hire them based on the needs. I trust them. I always go, it's basically like they're kind of like a white label designers. And most of the time in my agency, we do brand strategy, visual identity. And then if it's a product based business, we do packaging as well. That's all in house. And then website copywriting, that is something I never want to offer. Well, first, English is my second language. Second, I just don't even, I don't feel like I can even hire someone to know if they're good or not. And I will not be able to fix it, as you mentioned, if something happens. So just like copywriting, website design and development is something that we do offer, but I always have to figure out exactly who's going to work on it. And it has to be like a really high value project, or, you know, high level client in order for me to put all that effort.
Definitely. Cause it is a lot of effort. Like a similar thing happened with me with social media management. I got so many clients asking, hey, do you do social media management? I would love it if you did. And I was like, let's just give it a go. So I ended up like building a relationship with someone who's a really good friend of mine. Funny, I'm sitting in her office right now. But she, I brought her in to do the social media management on a white label service. And I thought I'd just be able to pass it all on, literally just be like, here you go. But again, there were so many issues that came up, and that was not on her, it was almost on me. And they just kept, you know, the issues at the end of the day came back down to what I was doing, and I had to fix them. And I had no experience in social media management. Although I've built my own audience, it's very different when you do start to work with clients. It's a whole different thing. But yeah, I decided with that as well, I decided to cut the service because I was like, I just don't enjoy this one bit. And the money wasn't worth it at all. I was stressed. There was more stress than money. So I was like, let's just get rid of that.
Yeah. I also feel like with websites, because especially if those are like high paying clients, then it is worth it. It's definitely worth it for us when it comes to website design. But I can totally see how social media management, unless you really know how to do it and have the right people, like part-time, full-time within your social media agency, which is not what your agency is about, then it's very difficult.
So hard. Like that's a whole nother ball game. Like I give credit to people who do social media management. It's tough, and people want the best results for the smallest amount of money. Like that industry is the epitome of that. And it's hard, and people just want to go viral and get 100,000 followers. And it's like, it's really tricky. And then to try and teach them why that isn't the ultimate goal is also really challenging. So I take my hat off to them.
Yeah. So now when you're already talking about social media, I mean, social media can be a powerful tool for attracting clients in the design industry, just like you used it. Could you share some insights into maybe like your approach to social media marketing and how it has contributed to the growth of your agency?
Yes, it's been massive, obviously. Without Instagram and TikTok, I would have not grown it to where it is today. It's just the ability to connect with anyone all over the world. And I think people underestimate how powerful that is and how lucky we are to have, you know, something that we hold in our hands, this that's essentially free marketing to anyone in the world. Like, that's wild. If you told people this 10 years ago, they'd be like, oh my God, we'd have to pay millions of dollars to have that reach. So even I'm talking about this now and I'm like, oh my God, Christy, do more social media posts. You know, it's a wild tool. And it's like we all become location neutral where no one has any idea where you are in the world. And that doesn't even matter. You know, we're right down in New Zealand. People often think I'm in America. Recently, I've been asked to a few conferences and they don't realize I'm so far away. And then they're like, oh my God, I didn't know you were so far away. But anyway, it's another story. But yeah, social media is so powerful. It's, you know, not only can you get new clients, which obviously that we set out to do that, you can also build different revenue streams through social media, which I would have not understood 4 years ago, through building an audience. And you don't have to have a big audience to do this. You can build your passive income streams. You can start to sell your processes, or maybe it's do little online courses or tutorials, you know, subscription-based services, whatever it might be. You can have and build a passive income opportunity.
Template.
Yeah, templates, all of that, which is so amazing when you get that set up and running and you're getting money and from doing nothing. And then as well, you've got the whole other end of that, which is just it opens up other opportunities for you. Like for me, speaking gigs that I never thought I would get the opportunity to do. And without social media, I would have never got those. But it's a challenging game and it's something that we all struggle with. It's comes in, you know, ups and downs, and it's a real challenge to not feel affected if your social media isn't doing well, or, you know, you're finding your engagement's low. But I think the best thing you can just do is keep going, keep creating. And if you're feeling overwhelmed by social media, there's a little quote and it's stop scrolling, just create. And I think that's really important. I actually try my best not to scroll too much these days because I honestly do get really overwhelmed by what everyone else is doing, which is silly because in essence, I've got everything that I could have ever wanted in a business. And here I am being sad that I didn't get 100,000 views on a video. Like that's ridiculous, you know? So yeah, it's a challenging game, but it is so worth it in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Because I was just talking to a friend of mine. He's a graphic designer and he has over 155,000 followers on Instagram for a year already. It's like, it's just not growing. He's like every single time and he posts, he like loses, you know, he has like big reach. So he's like losing 100 followers and then gains 100 followers and it's constantly at the same number. So he was sharing how it's very hard for creatives to continue because he was putting efforts for another year after not seeing any engagement. And then he eventually slowly gave up. He never said that, but I said, you know, he used to post like every single day. And even though, you know, and then as it was like slowing down, he's just like transitioned to YouTube. And now he's trying to focus more on YouTube and trying to figure that out and why Instagram is not working. Do you think that something like that can happen to other creatives as well? And do you maybe have any insights on like why would something that was working all of a sudden stop?
You know, that's a great question, because I guess if we all knew the answer, we'd all be going, like our reach would be continuing to rise. I think it's like numerous things. And like I've had this, you know, you'll be a bit stagnant for a while and then won't grow. And I think it's really important to remember that although at the end of the day, 150,000 people, you know, whatever your follower account is huge. But then if you think about even 1,000 people in one room, that is so many people. So if you can reach even that, that's fine. And in a weird way, what I've been doing recently, and I don't know if this is a very good strategy, but it's a strategy to allow you to let go of those numbers, is lower your expectation. So create content. If you love it, amazing, post it. And just say your goal is to get a view, you know, 10,000 views on a reel. Honestly, that's my goal. As long as I hit that every time, and I've got 220 something thousand followers, I just want to hit 10,000 views. I've lowered my expectations and I just create because I enjoy creating and I know it gets me work. And I'm happy. Like, I'm like, that's all I need as long as I hit that. So lower your expectations. Again, not saying this is a strategy that'll solve everything, but I think with social media, we so focus on these massive high numbers and we just need to let that go. But I think if you're stagnant with social media, the best thing you can do is try new things and look at other content, be inspired by it, you know, take an idea and make it your own. And just try different things. I think that's the biggest thing, which he probably did do. You know, I'm sure there's so many people out there who've tried multiple different things and they just find it's not working. But yeah, you just have to make, even just the simple idea of making short, choppy, quick content can help. I think when you start social media and build, create reels, they're too long, they're too drawn out. We just need a quick, you know, everything needs to be quick. I've been told sometimes my reels are too quick and I'm like, oh, oops, that's fine. I enjoy them.
Before we continue with this podcast episode, I just want to quickly remind you that if you're a design business owner whose dream is to have a successful and profitable career so you can enjoy the freedom and flexibility that comes with it, then I have something for you. The Profitable Designer Program is my signature 12-week system that will help you improve your business, sign amazing, high-paying clients, and truly achieve your financial and lifestyle goals. Visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit to check if you can join us now or if we are currently not accepting more designers into the program. In that case, you will be able to join the waitlist and be the first to know when we open the doors again. Now, we'll go back to the episode in a second, but I just want to add that designers who completed the program were able to sign five-figure design clients, 10 times their pricing, reach six figures and beyond, make $20,000 per month while working only a few hours a week, and more. Here is what Julia said.
It really has everything you could ever ask for to build a six-figure business that will allow you to have financial freedom. And that's why I personally did it. Like, I wanted that flexibility.
So if you want to be my next success story and achieve results like these, visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit. Now, let's go back to the episode.
Yeah, I also really like how you mentioned, I love creating content, so it's just important to continue creating because there are many creatives that don't like creating content. They just want to design that logo or design, you know, work on a color palette versus like, oh, now I have to create a reel that's going to save me the caption or, you know, all those things. Like, how much time do you invest in managing your social media account? Like, from when it comes to like creating the reels, carousels, writing captions, and do you have any help?
I'll be completely honest. At the moment, I'm finding it really hard. And I think it's because we're so busy with our work here and I've got a team and even managing the team. You know, I've got an office and we're all in the office. It's so time consuming. So what I typically do in the, you know, the best week, I would create my content on Fridays. I would pretty much plan it all on Friday, film it Fridays, try and edit it on a Friday. But then if I don't quite finish it, I will, you know, do it on Monday, finish it off on Monday, and then it's all prepared for the next week. But yeah, it's a really challenging thing to do. It's so time consuming, which is really hard. But I think when it comes to overall how much time, like, not going to lie, I've got so many DMs sitting there that I have not even touched because I'm so overwhelmed with all of my other work at the moment. Like, I need to do something about it. We'll just say that. But yeah, it's challenging and it's frustrating. And this is a whole nother tangent when people say, you know, just hire someone else. I could, but it's also not as easy as just hiring someone else. Then if I'm hiring someone else, I'm then managing another person. That's more team management, which technically I don't really want to do. I don't want to have a big company of heaps of employees. That's just not something I'm interested in. So how do I then scale my business to stay the exact same size, but become a lot better to manage, so that I can then do the things like social media management and do what I really enjoy. Yeah. Oh, it's a challenging game. Business is not easy. We'll just say that.
Yeah. And I know we are now talking a lot about social media, but it feels like that is what drives your business and what helps you grow. And you've achieved like remarkable success in growing your agency. Like, and many designers still struggle to gain like any traction on social media. What do you believe that sets you apart? Like, whether it's your approach, your designs, your mindset, like what do you think that is different in your approach?
Do you mean in what I do or what in general?
You do with your social media, because there are many designers who maybe even have way more posts than you have and have started in 2016-17, where you know you started in 2020. Like, how, what do you see, why are you different?
I think it's a few things. I really do think personality plays a much bigger part in all of this than people think it does. I'm actually speaking in a month at a conference in America, and I talk about this, about bringing your personality to the table and, you know, intertwining your personal brand with your business. Because as someone who does that, you can then hopefully relate to other people that, you know, are similar to you, have the same sort of experiences to you. So I think I used to say anyone can get on social media and do really well, even if you're shy. But I think in some aspects, even if you're shy, you do have to put yourself out there and be a little bit more extroverted to like get yourself out on social media. So personality plays a really big part of it in it. And just to try and share your personality, don't be afraid to be a bit quirky and a bit weird. And although I might show up with, you know, makeup on and my hair done, I am a little bit unusual and funny and quirky in my own way, and I'm not afraid to share that. So that would certainly be something. Another thing, I think, you know, I'm not the best designer in the world at all. I've got so much to learn and so much to upskill, but it's the way that I think I present my work, the way that I share it. Again, it's that really chop, quick, changing reels that are really engaging. It's a bit of storytelling as well, as simple as, you know, sharing a time lapse, but over that time lapse, you've got a story about maybe who you are or who, you know, five lessons I've learned as a graphic designer in my career. You know, you're telling stories, you're sharing your vulnerability and your insights. And then, yeah, I mean, oh, there's so many other things that I could list, but I think another part of it is really just connecting with your, and this is so vague, true authentic self. And I hate using that word authentic, because what the heck is that? If you said to someone, go and be authentic, I say, well, I don't know who I am. How am I supposed to be authentic? But I think in a weird way, if you can dig deep into your childhood and your upbringing and your like experiences, that is where you can find your authentic self and like who that person is. For me, as simple as this might be, I named my business from my love of pink and my love of ponies as a kid. And I didn't realize the impact that that would have on my business today, you know, and now I get referred to as the pony girl. And I'm like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that one, but that's fun. But yeah, hopefully that was a whole lot of information, but yeah.
Yeah. But I love that you mentioned personality, because a lot of designers are just hiding behind cameras. Mm. And I understand, you know, they're introverts. I am extrovert. So for me, that's, you know, for me, it's easy to be in front of camera. But when you mentioned personality, I was like, well, I know that you run and I feel like I know you through social media, even though this is the first time we talk. And I just like feel, oh, well, I already know this girl. I know how many employees she has. I know how her office looks like. And if I was to hire a designer, that would definitely be you, because I feel like I know you. And not just in terms of like the business perspective, but I also know your values. I know you're going to do a half marathon coming this weekend or next weekend, right? So it's like, I know all those things, you know, and it's just like, feels like if I want to work with someone, that will definitely be you, even though you don't know me as much. But I'm just like, if, you know, from the client's perspective, I would want to work with someone who I already know.
I think it's interesting too. Chris Doe is a perfect example of an introvert who pretends to be an extrovert. And he talked about that at Adobe Max a lot. And, you know, he said that, you know, public speaking terrifies him. He's not much of someone who's like super extroverted, but he kind of in a way puts on a bit of a persona, like his extroverted Chris Du to be able to go out there and like do big things. And I think we kind of have to do that if you were going to want to grow on social media and build this network and go out there and do these incredible things. You're not going to achieve those if you don't show yourself. There's a really good quote, and it's opportunity dances with those on the dance floor. So, you know, if you are on the dance floor, opportunity could come dancing with you.
Yeah.
They've got to be there.
And so, yeah, definitely. And I was actually talking to Chris though just a few weeks ago, and he was sharing about like being like a loud extrovert, which is basically he's loud introvert, where, you know, he comes on stage and every single time before he's about to get on the stage, he feels that like, oh, but I feel like we all feel it. It just depends if you're going to do it or not. And every single time becomes easier. I also actually, now I'm just like having all these thoughts.
That's great.
I think it was like a podcast interview or something with Lady Gaga. And she said she still feels nervous every single time when she's on stage. And so you just either let that be, learn to live with it, or eventually you will become so good and so good in that it will not bother you.
Definitely. I think it's a bit of, if you want to build an audience and build an emotional connection with people, it's bringing those people into your world. And like the perfect example is Taylor Swift, you know, classic. She does it so well, where she brings people into her world. She's sharing these, you know, her experiences of when she got broken up with, or when she, you know, broke up with a boy, and she sings about them. So that's something, she's sharing her experiences. Then she brings people into her world. You know, she has this style that she comes out with on stage, the glittery, the out there looks. And then now everyone's so immersed in her world, they come to her shows wearing the same thing. So it's like the ability to bring people into your world is how you really build a brand that is really strong and build a business that's really strong and like captivating as well.
Yeah. And so now to go back to growing an agency and going from being a solo designer into having a team, and as someone who has, you know, evolved from primarily like being a solo designer to leading a team, how has your role shifted within the agency? Do you still actively participate in design projects, or are you more like a project manager or a CEO? If you can just tell us, like, how is that within a small design agency now?
Yeah, it's changed so much for sure.
And I feel like it's always probably changing, right?
Always changing and always evolving. Like, I'm hugely across everything in terms of the design work. You know, my team sits right next to me. I'm looking at them right now. And they're all there, and we collaborate and talk about projects. And, you know, just yesterday we were all looking at a brand mark that we were creating for a brand. We were all of us standing there talking about it. So bringing all of the minds together to like hopefully come out with a better outcome. But, you know, we do a lot of that. I do a lot of, I guess, project management in the way which I don't love doing. And I want to figure out a way that I can get rid of that without bringing on someone else, you know. But even my girls, even my team, they also do some project management with clients. They are talking with clients. It's not just me. So I have diversified in that way, allowed them to connect with the clients directly. So yeah, a lot of social project management, all my words are getting mixed up. A lot of marketing. So I create all of the reels that, you know, you see on my Instagram, plan all that, because that is essentially our number one biggest lead generator. So a lot of that, a lot of, you know, sales. I do all the sales calls. I do proposals for businesses. Our accounts manager does all the inquiries, which is great. But yeah, just a lot of like conversation with my team, my clients. And then, you know, as of right now, we're just getting our new website. It's about to be launched. So preparing all of that and, you know, preparing for the speaking gig that's coming up in a couple of weeks. I feel like, not going to lie, I feel like I'm wearing too many hats at the moment, and I'm really struggling to do things that are like really great because I'm too spread out. In terms of design, I wish I was designing way more than I am. I spend more time in emails than I do in Illustrator these days, which sucks. But it's trying to figure out how I can strengthen the business without growing. Yeah, it's a difficult thing to do, but I'm getting
and
there.
You mentioned a few times without growing and how you don't want to grow. Are there any particular reasons? Have you tried and then scaled down, or why is that I don't want to grow?
Yeah.
I mean, I could totally relate. That's how I am too. Six people maximum, maybe if I really have to, but
it's interesting. Yeah. Like I thought, you know, 10 years ago, if I was to have an agency, I could say that I want a business with 20 employees and I would love that. But essentially when you grow a business, it's really hard because you become a manager of people. And I just don't want to do that. It's like, that's not really why I set out to do this. I love my team and they're so incredible. And yeah, maybe I could hire one more person, but even then I'm like, do I really want to do that? Do I really want to hire one more person? The flip side, you know, what is the other option? The other option is for me to hire, you know, a creative director or a general manager who almost comes into what I'm doing right now to fill this role. But obviously with that comes a big cost. So it's trying to figure out what to do there. And I like a small agency. Like I really do. I like it being small and intimate and, you know, it all kind of, we all help each other out. I like that. I don't want to build, you know, a big sort of corporate business. That sounds like really stressful. So,
yeah. But where do you then, now it's like a future question, like where do you see yourself or like where do you see your business in the next like 2 to 5 years? Like what is
Yeah. Well, you know, as a 31-year-old woman who's married, kids are definitely something that like is on the horizon. And I think as a woman, this is a whole nother conversation. This is like a huge thing for someone who's owns a business, so invested in my business. The thought of having a child, I'm like, I'm so busy already. How am I going to fit a kid in? But I do want a family. And so I'm like, you know, we'll just make it work when it happens. And you know, maybe that's the time where I have to hire a creative director or a general manager or someone to fill in my shoes because I physically won't be able to do all this work and raise a child because I also don't really want to be a mum who, and there's no judgment to any mums who do this, but I think when I do have a child, I think my mindset will probably change a bit and my business won't be my number one priority. And, you know, sure, if you're a mother and you want to work full-time in your business, but I think if I'm going to have a child, I want to be able to spend quite a bit of time with them. So yeah, how do I go about that? So honestly, that's like one of the biggest things that I think about going forward for the business. You know, there's no way I would ever want to not have the business. This is my baby and I love it and I'm so proud of it. But that's kind of the next hurdle for me. It's actually probably not something that's like hugely spoken about in the graphic design industry or, you know, all the branding industry is like how women cope with this. So I think it's an interesting topic, but that's kind of the next step. I mean, I've always wanted to release courses, which I will do one day, but I've been saying this for like 3 years. So apologies to anyone waiting. I've just gotten far too busy.
It's actually all connected because in 2020, so I have two kids, two daughters, and my first one was born in February 2020, so 4 weeks prior to lockdowns and everything. And so I didn't have a choice but to be a stay-at-home mom because all daycares are closed, but I also had my business. So what I did is I started waking up at 4:30 a.m. You started waking up, and then I was working 5 till 7, and then the baby wakes up. And then her first nap is around 9, and then I work 9 till 10. And I was just like picking up all these gaps. And honestly, I was just so much more productive working less hours than when I had full-time hours to work on the business. Because you just, you know that you can get 10 things done.
Yeah.
You get to 5. And then these 5, you actually realize they're not even important. I'm going to put them on a long-term or short-term list because I have those, like I have my to-do lists like for Monday, Tuesday, and then I have like weekend, of course that never happens, and then I have like short-term, long-term, you know, like it will happen one day. And even if, you know, there's still so many things on my that to-do list, which means they were not important, but maybe I would spend time working on them if I didn't have a kid.
Yeah exactly. And it's such a scary thought, I think, like I want a family, but the idea of having a family most likely will mean my business will slow down. And that's really scary. And it feels, oh my gosh, this is such a big topic, like frustrating.
Yeah, I'm now like you're going into it.
Frustrating in a way that men don't have to worry that much about that. And my husband is a very hard worker and he's very invested in what he does. And he's an incredible businessman and worker. And I would never want to take that away from him. Someone said to me, like, you know, oh, what about if he was the stay-at-home dad? I could never ask him to do that. And I would never want to. There's not a bone in my body that would want me to ask him that. And you might say, oh, well, that isn't that unfair on you? But no, I'm like, I think, yeah, like I, oh, it's, oh my gosh, it's such a big topic that I'm just getting ahead of myself here.
But even now, like, so I have a baby who's 5 months old now. And I just don't feel like I'm going to put her in daycare. I don't know how it's in New Zealand, but in America, like, people put their kids in daycare at 12 weeks. In Serbia, where I'm from, is at 12 months. And so I don't know. I'm just like balancing that. Like, they put her in daycare. Like, she's so small for that. And so we have a nanny, like, literally 2 houses down. She also has a baby. So she comes with her baby to watch my baby.
Oh, perfect.
And I get about 12 hours a week, like, of help. I could probably get even more. I just don't feel like, and I'm still able to do absolutely everything that I was. I don't even know how has that possible. But you'll see, when you don't have time, you just get things done.
Yes.
There's no, you can't scroll on Instagram. There's no time for it. Okay, move on. Next thing.
No, I like
the
that.
Only thing that, so my business didn't slow down, but what slowed down was I don't have time to exercise, for example. It just doesn't happen. Or sometimes I would like play on a big TV, like in the living room, like yoga or something, and then baby's watching me. And that's still okay before she starts walking. When she starts walking, I can't, you know, I had to like chase her. But that's kind of like a workout, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I guess, and that's the thing with anything, regardless of if you have kids or not, is like, just what are your priorities? I guess that comes down to, if you want to make time for something, you can. And that was actually like circling right back to the 100-day design challenge. People ask me all the time, how did you have the time? Because you were working full time and you were trying to get a designer every day. It's like you can make the time. Like you said, wake up at 4:30 a.m. and create a post, you know, create a graphic, or maybe you have to stay up a little bit later to get it done. Or maybe don't watch that, you know, the Vampire Diaries show that you really want to watch, which I'm really into at the moment. It's a bad addiction. But, you know, like just getting away from these things and really figure out what your priorities are. I think that's something that you have to do when you own a business. And really, if you want to achieve big things, you've just got to like knock out the things that aren't important and bring in the things that are.
Definitely. And I also feel like designers, not just designers, any business owners, they're thinking like, oh, where the clients are going to come from? How, you know, how can I get like better clients? And then they try to like spread themselves like too thin and they go on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on TikTok, blogging, and they're like, well, this is not working. So you have to like have the priorities.
Yes.
And for you, that was Instagram. And then I'm assuming you repost to TikTok, or do you also have a separate strategy for TikTok?
No, it's all reposting. Like I just share the same thing across both of them. And then even our accounts manager, she shares everything onto Pinterest. And that was something that's happened recently. We've just started posting on Pinterest and that's been going really well. And, you know, our, you know, impressions have gone up and we're trying to do the same with LinkedIn. It's just the same content. Honestly, I treat them all the same. It's just putting more eyes on you, you know, the more platforms you can get across, which is hard to do by yourself because it is so much time and effort to repost and, you know, all
even
that.
It sounds like, oh, well, you already have that video. You just post it again. Well, it's not that. It's like grab the captions, grab the hashtags, grab the cover, grab this, link to this. It still takes a lot of time to even just repost.
Exactly. So much time and effort to repost. Yeah. And that's where delegating is good to, you know, do that kind of thing because anyone could really come along and help out with that. So delegation is
definitely
important.
Definitely.
I feel like we went on so many tangents. I love it.
Exactly. Okay, well, finally, what advice would you give to aspiring design business owners who are looking to grow their business and maybe achieve similar success as you did in your design business?
Yeah, I've got two bits of advice. Number one would be around a quote, which I feel like I finish every podcast on, but I'm going to say it again. And the quote is, "You're far too smart to be the only thing standing in your own way." We too often just put a wall up for no reason because of the way we think about something. So you're too smart for that. You can do it. Don't let, you know, your internal feelings stop you from doing something. And then the other bit of advice is around social media. And if you want to grow and be successful and do awesome things, social media is the way to go. Like, that is almost the portal, like the door to opportunities that you've never even dreamed of. So get your ass on social media, because it can be so powerful. And just chip away at it. Don't put expectations on yourself. It's going to take time to get better at it. It's going to take time to get good at it. But just understand, the earlier you start, the better you'll be. But yeah, those are my bits of feedback.
Yeah, I love that. And as we wrap up this episode, if you want to see some of Christy's incredible work and stay updated on her latest projects, be sure to check out her website and follow her on social media. And Christy, would you mind sharing your website? I know the new one is coming soon, and social media handles with our listeners.
Yeah, so the website is pinkponycreative.com, and then social media on Instagram, I'm Christy.thepinkpony, and then everywhere else, it's just Pink Pony Creative. But yeah, follow along. If you've got any questions, please ask. Always like to connect with new people.
Thank you again, Christy. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, no, it was so lovely to be on your podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast. But wait, before you go, if you enjoyed this podcast episode and want a chance to access one of our online courses for free, simply leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Each month, one lucky reviewer gets to pick a course as a token of our appreciation. And here's a reminder. We are here to help you build the design business of your dreams. Whether it's creating compelling proposals, attracting 10K clients, pricing your design services, improving your portfolio, reaching six figures and beyond, or helping you stand out, we've got you covered. I invite you to join over 1,000 designers in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer. Visit aventiveacademy.com/profit. And also, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That way, you'll be the first to know when each new episode drops, so you never miss out on future content. Until next time, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at Aventive Academy, where we share valuable business tips, stories, and resources for brand, graphic, and web design business owners. Bye for now. Your host, Katie Sandell.